We are beginning a new series, as I said at the beginning of the service, and we're going to be focusing on a testimony each week, hearing a story from someone in the church about how they have experienced God in their life. All of this in the format of worship intended to proclaim God's word and to nourish and grow our faith, but also with an intentional objective of helping us realize the width and the depth of our stories and how they are part of God's story and part of the gospel, actually, of God's good news in the world. And so, as I said earlier, you have to listen to me first since it was my idea. Whoever suggests it might as well do it. And so I'm going to share with you a testimony of a formative experience of God in my life, and then also some scriptures that go with it. Really are some of the key scriptures for me in my life as I understand my story and how God's story is the story in which my story is written and how my story interacts with your stories. And so those are three scriptures that we'll read as we prepare for the sermon testimony time. They come from Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 6. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah being called. From Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 36, actually, forgive me, which is Jesus talking about what it means to be a follower of his teaching. And then from the letter written to the church in Rome, which we call Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, which is the big climactic conclusion. Paul has spent all this time explaining what it means to be Christian, and then he says, and so, and that's the part in Romans 12. So I invite you to listen for the word of God in the words this morning. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Mark chapter 8. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? And the concluding words in Romans chapter 12. I, Paul, appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters of the church in Rome, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Now, you hear me talk all the time, but you don't always necessarily hear me talk about my story. If you have figured out my sermons, usually if there's a story of someone who screws things up, it's me. And if there's someone who's a hero or a heroine, it's you. And so today I thought I'd disclose a little bit more of myself and share with you how I have experienced God in my life in one particular season and how that is woven throughout the tapestry of my life. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church all the time. In fact, I loved church. In high school, I used to cut school and go to church. The youth pastor would get mad. Go back to school. And there came a point in time when I was a sophomore in high school where I had trouble with friends, and now I can't even really remember what that was like. But it's something that usually happens to us in 8th or 9th or 10th grade, where life is changing and you're changing and friends are changing and you're starting to become an adult. You're starting to realize that you are defined by your relationships, by your actions, but in particular by your friends, by your community that is larger than your family, larger than yourself. And it came to be where I had a lot of trouble with friends. And I felt completely abandoned and cut off from my friends and struggled to go to school thinking I'll be alone all day. No one likes me. But deeper than that, it was a sense of rejection. A sense that I was rejected by everyone, that I was no good, that I was worthless. A sense of rejection that extended even to myself, where I thought I was worthless. On a certain level where I was rejecting myself. And I felt completely abandoned, completely isolated, and a deep sense of aloneness in the season in which, as human beings, we most want to be connected to other people. Now, it was during that season that I was still involved in our youth group and still cutting school to go to church. And I had faith. I believed that Jesus walked with me. But the man who was our youth pastor invited us to commit to reading the Bible every day for the season of Lent. And we would meet one day a week for those 6 weeks before school to kind of talk about what we were hearing. It was the very first time in my life where I read the Bible consistently on a daily basis. And he had prepared something that we could do. And I was overwhelmed. In the midst of these deep feelings of aloneness and rejection that had been lasting for months during that year, I had the experience of hearing the voice of God in the written word. Of hearing not just God say nice things, or that Jesus was a good guy, or that Jesus died for me and saved me from my sins, but hearing the good news that my life mattered. That God spoke to me in my feelings of rejection, abandonment, isolation, of death on a certain level. Not that I was aware of that at age 15, 16. But this radical word of hope, of meaning, that transcended my experience, that made me realize life was bigger than what I knew and what I thought. It was an experience, not just of the written word, but of sharing with other people. Because it was not just me in that small group of high schoolers that had that experience reading the Bible. I don't remember anybody else's experience, but I do remember my own. How every day I was moved by the Word of God, and how when we would meet on Wednesday mornings at 6:15, it was moving to hear other people talk in a way that you usually don't do when you go to high school, or even after high school. And I remember that on the last Wednesday in that season of Lent, we had communion. And it was deeply moving. It was an experience of God's presence and purpose and passion in the world, but also in my life. And it was in that season that I actually began to fathom that God could love the whole world and also love me. As the psalmist says, that God could know every hair on my head and still know everything else. Now, I can't really explain that, even with all my studies, how God can do both. But I felt it. I lived it for myself. Now, it was this radical feeling of togetherness, of not being alone, of being connected to God, but connected to people through the written word of God, but also through the storytelling of how God is alive today. And it was huge in my life. And I continued to grow, and I went to college And I had another experience of that. Now, most people don't know, but I actually was very, very shy and timid as a child. Terrified of any and everybody. Now, maybe it's just because I was not quite developed yet mentally. I'm still trying on that one. But personality-wise, maybe that was still happening. I don't know. But it was really this experience of God's presence in my life that helped give me a confidence that I did not have before. And it was a confidence that helped me a lot. I went to college in San Diego, and I drove myself down. And as you drive down the 405 to go towards La Jolla, where UC San Diego is, there was about 10 to 5 miles where I started crying by myself because I was terrified of doing anything alone, and I was moving to a new place all alone. And I remember wanting to pull over and stop, thinking I could just turn around and drive back to Sacramento. I could be there by tomorrow morning. And pushing through. And I remember when I first went to France on exchange, and I experienced what it means to be an immigrant. What it means to not understand what in the world is going on around you. And the lonely isolation feeling of that. And in the midst of that, I went to church on the first Sunday, feeling completely overwhelmed, not even knowing what the people were saying. And a family invited me to their house for lunch. Never knew what they were saying. I didn't know that we were having cow's tongue until they gave me the tip. Didn't know that's the best part till I swallowed it. But again, another version of that same experience of God, not letting me be alone, that God is with us, that God is with me, that God has a plan for me, as trite and corny as that might sound, and that God walks with me, just like God did with Abraham and Sarah, telling them at the ripe young age of 75, get up and head out. Just like Jesus said to those who want to follow him, you have to pick up your cross. You have to pick up the symbol of everything that invites you towards death and carry it to find new life. Just like Paul says to the people in Rome, don't be conformed to this world. There's more going on than you realize. Don't let the world get you down. God is at work. Remember that. Connect with it. Look and listen for it. For God is speaking. It's throughout my whole life, actually, that that same experience has come back, that these same scriptures come back and speak to me. And I just love Abraham and Sarah. I made a joke the other night about one of the funny parts of the stories. Can you imagine if you're 75 and God says you're going to have a baby? Are you kidding? But it is really a story of moving beyond, going somewhere new. Things you have to let go of in order to receive new things. And this radical message of God going with you, wherever you go. Now, the best part of the story of Abraham and Sarah is not that they're old and have kids, but rather that they screw up the whole time. If you read the story, they live for a very long time, but we only hear little capsules of their life. And they go for years without knowing what to do or where God is. It's what leads Abraham to offer his wife to the Pharaoh as his lover so that he won't get hurt. You might not realize that's what happens in the story. It's what leads them to have children that are super screwed up and dysfunctional. And yet in their story is the reminder, at least for me in my story, and I think for all of us in our story, that God does not leave us alone. That God is involved, that God has a call for us. A call not necessarily to be a chemist or to be a preacher or to be a missionary, but to be God's child. To know God's fullness and love in sickness and health, in plenty and in want, as we say, in night and in day. And I am motivated by that that message, that experience of God. And at the same time, I am so screwed up that that's the first thing I forget all the time. In fact, I'm grateful because it's my wife who always reminds me. God's brought us this far. There's no way we're just going to get dropped now. We moved to France before we came to College Avenue because it was what I believed God was calling me to do, to go to the distant country and to do it all and to live it. And once we got there, it really sucked. Christy couldn't work. We crashed our car. We made less than $1,000 a month. We had a house with holes in the wall, and we took a shower in the shower where the water would come up to your mid-calf almost. I'm joking a little, but it came up as you showered, and it was the manse, and no one in the church seemed to care or do anything about it. Elodie was eating her hair because she was so stressed out, and I felt like it was all my fault. And again, in that moment, that season, even if I couldn't see it in Scripture, Christy would help reflect it to me. It was God's promise in, I am with you, and I will bless you, just like Abraham. And I will bless you to be a blessing to others. It is so easy to forget, isn't it? So easy. And yet it's at the core of what faith is. It's the core of what makes me believe. Now, maybe someone would say I'm delusional and I'm mentally ill and I just need a crutch. Maybe I do. But as I look back and when I actually take the time to stop doing things, to stop always moving, to stop listening to things, but to just listen, I repeatedly hear God saying that God is with me. That there is that distant country that we are going towards, and that God will get me there. So today I want to invite you to think about your own story and how have you heard God extending that same promise to you, to be with you, that you have a purpose, that your life has meaning. What is it that keeps you from believing that? Or acting from it day in and day out. And as I end, as we get ready to sing this song, which is a little corny because it's all pre-programmed to get you excited, even if it's a great song, as we sing, I know the Lord has laid his hands on me, I want to invite you to sing it, to claim it. And to claim it, even if you're unsure of it, asking God to make it real for you. Because I have studied a lot, I have learned a lot in lots of languages around the world. I've gotten A's in all of my pastor classes. But what I most learned about God was when I was 15, and I heard God speaking to me in that Bible study group. May you hear God's love for you. And may we have the courage to remind each other of God's faithfulness. Amen. Let's stand as we are able. Whoa.